This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast, an Easter Monday edition of That Millwall Podcast, where we are going to be analysing and going over the abysmal, pathetic and downright unacceptable result today at Rotherham, where Millwall fell on the sword in a 2-1 defeat, bringing us back down into trouble, looking even further over our shoulder than we have in previous weeks. A few matters of business before we get started. You realise that I'm on my own. Poor Stephen's not very well today, so we wish him very well. And we'll be bringing on a guest today, Nick, who was at the game today, who will share his thoughts. And we'll get your questions in as well. So bear with me, ladies and gents. I will try and get to as many of your comments as possible, because I understand that this is a very, very angry chat from what I've been seen so far. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Nick on and we'll get the conversation started. Nick, good evening, mate. How are you?
All right, mate. You're right.
Not too bad. Could be better. How was your Easter?
It was going all right, to be honest with you, Jay. Just disappointing, mate, to be honest with you.
It is very disappointing, and this is the thing that when we come off of, you know, some pleasing results, you know, a draw at home to West Brom, most of us, if not all of us, would have took that at the start of the weekend, looking at Rotherham as a win. But in typical Millwall fashion, we go to Rotherham and we lose, you know, and that's been the case for a Millwall team a number of times in the past. A few of us, old school fans like yourself, we expected that kind of result, although we didn't expect it, if that makes sense. I just want to touch on, obviously, you was at the game today. Millwall, look, the stats speak quite a lot of volumes. We had more possession. We had 14 shots to Rotherham 6. Both teams had 5 shots on goal. We had 11 corners, you know. But we didn't make the keeper made some good saves, but we had a couple of big chances, one-on-ones, that we've got to be burying. And obviously, you were behind the goal. What do you reckon?
I just think we're not clinical enough, and we haven't been for a number of years, personally. It was an underwhelming performance. It lacked the passion that we needed. It reminded me of Wigan away last year. The team was already down.
Yeah.
But we can't be losing games like this. You've got to look at the teams below us. QPR, they've had 3 points out of us. Sheffield Wednesday have had 3 points out of us. Rotherham have now had 3 points out of us.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. And considering the results that today, I mean, you look at Blackburn, you know, with their tough running, they went and stuck 5 past Sunderland in a resounding win. Birmingham go get a win against Preston. QPR beat Swansea. You know, Stoke and Huddersfield battle out a draw. The only result that really went for us was that draw, and Sheffield Wednesday losing to Middlesbrough. But we're brought right back down into it now. Now, Harris made a number of changes today. Well, I say a number, he made 2. He brought Casper Denore back in, which a lot of people were calling for. was it the right decision? How did you think that Casper played today in what he was asked to do in this sort of Harris type football?
I think Cass is a great player, mate. Obviously, you know that. But do you change a side that's been getting results? We don't know what goes on day to day in that building. Mitchell may need a rest. I was surprised to see Sav still start. Bring in Wallace in. I thought Danny Mack might get the nod there.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. It's interesting you say that about Wallace, because I fully expected Danny Mack to play. Wallace hasn't played football for a while, you know, and he took a massive, massive hit. And ultimately, Danny Mack come on. I thought Danny Mack did okay. But I want to talk about the goals we conceded. They're shocking goals. There's no other way to describe it. The goals are absolutely appalling. You know, Tanganga, was he being held for the second? What was Sarkic doing with the first? You know, and we're just, when we seem to find ourselves getting back into the game, we're putting balls into the box, we're trying to create, Rotherham go straight up the other end and they score. And you know, are we committing too many forward? Is it Harris getting maybe a bit jittery? You know, he made a wholesale changes. You know, some did better than others. I thought Longman did okay when he come on. But what do you make of the way the game was managed and how we ended up seeing that game out with the players that were on the pitch? And do some of these retain their place going into what's now a 9-pointer, if you can call it, against Huddersfield on Saturday?
I mean, I wanted to see Longman shortly after the half, because they were open at the back. They were a poor, poor side. So Longman, yeah, I wanted him on. See him, mate. He made a couple of runs, got some good balls in, but they're late changes again. And I mean, I don't want to keep going on about last year. Obviously, I mentioned Wigan, but I think we all remember the last seven games, how they went.
Yeah, and I think this is giving
on the field as well.
I think it's giving Millwall fans a bit of PTSD in terms of what happened at the back end of last season, where we was fighting for the playoffs, to what's happening now, where we're fighting to stay in the division. You know, the fixtures, they don't get any easier by all accounts. You know, Huddersfield next week, you got Stoke at home to West Brom. QPR got a massive game against Sheffield Wednesday. Leicester are at home to Birmingham. So there is games there where if we can get a result against Huddersfield, we can pull ourselves, you know, back into the position we started before the Easter weekend. But the fact that we've gone to Rotherham and the performance has been so bad, it doesn't fill us with confidence. You know, the fact that Harris come out and said, we're not going to underestimate Rotherham. We're not going to, we know what we have to go there and do. And I thought he set up like that, bringing Casper in. But ultimately, you know, some people were saying they wanted it more than us. I don't believe that. I just thought it was two very, very poor sides who can't create and who are just overall very poor footballing teams. You know, we just haven't got good players. They're good in what Harris has tried to do so far. But overall, we're trying to attack. The game didn't suit us. You know, should you change a winning side or a side that's been playing very well, would we have got a better result if he stuck with Billy, if he didn't make them changes? Again, I was surprised to see Saville play both games after allegedly being, not very fit with his hamstring. But I want to get to some of these comments before we lose some of them. So Harris brings Danny on, he runs down the left, skies foot over the crossbar, and we have naturally left-footed wing and Adam. See, I agree with this. He did bring Mayer on. So what was your thoughts on Mayer when he come on? How did he look?
Yeah, he looks a handful. It's always tough at 2-1 down. You want to see the kid come on and make a name for himself, but you're asking a lot, especially with the amount of minutes that he has had.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's been thrown in the firing line in a desperate situation where we've got to try and nick it. And that's not really...
Either way, you can bring anyone on down the wing.
And yeah, exactly.
The balls are coming in the box, but without... We lack quality up top. We have done for a long, long time. We lack goal scorers. I mean, their number 9, the one with the ponytail, Maybe look at someone like him next year. Big bodied, bit of an handful.
Yeah, we've mentioned that type of striker before. We haven't really replaced a Morrison or a Matt Smith or that type of striker, because it did give us, you know, in them final moments of the game where we are sticking the ball in the box, we was using Cooper as that centre forward, and then it left us wide open. And if we had had a Matt Smith up there, we would have been able to have better shape. And you know, that striker's instinct, you may nick one. I thought Cooper did really well to knock it on for Longman to knock it in and get the goal. But there was countless opportunities. I mean, the Rotherham goalkeeper, for me, is one of the best goalkeepers in the division. He's a top three.
He got man of the match today, and that shows up a lot with the stats, the way we played. He was better than our number one that we've just paid over £1 million for.
So
his positioning, yeah, was he positioned the best he could be? Maybe not. Both goals were in the bottom corner. But then I feel Tanganga's got to get closer to his man as well. I mean,
yeah, it kind of looked like he was really fouled. I don't know from your view, but it looked like he was slightly fouled. Again, he's got to do better. You know, it's a tough one because you're committing so many men forward, but you do have to be disciplined. And we've been used to being the very disciplined in how we're playing, and we haven't really gone after teams. I mean, we went after Rotherham late in the second half, but this is typical Millwall. We wait till we go behind or when the going gets tough before we start throwing the ball forward and start trying to commit. I thought the first half we was very, very slow. We was laboured. We weren't getting the ball into forward positions or down the wings, and we weren't committing. We wanted the ball at feet all the time, turning and little back passes and so on. And we I think you said it to me earlier off air that we went down to Rotherham's level. Now, Rotherham's level is our level because we're down there. We're no better than Rotherham. You know, we've just managed to get ourselves in a bit of a better situation. But we haven't got a target man like Rotherham. We have, you know, they've got some good players. They're poorly managed. And it's and ultimately, we've fallen on the sword to them yet again, as we have done with these bad sides. Millwall beat the top teams or perform well against the top teams. And we play poorly against the bottom teams. But the running in next week, we've got Huddersfield away from home, which is now a massive 6-pointer. What you hoping to see there?
I ain't got a good feeling about going to Huddersfield. I can see us getting beat and then going to beat Leicester at home, to be honest with you. That is Millwall. We do seem to play at the opponent's game to their level. We will beat a side above us because they're more up for it. But then today happens, doesn't it?
That's the thing. And like this, like what Paul's saying here, is that we did see it coming. You know, set plays were our only real avenue of attack today. We didn't really see any clear-cut through balls, any grit in midfield to drive forward. I thought Casper, after he shook the rust off, I thought Casper started to get on the ball and started to try and dictate play. I felt we was looking for Casper a little bit too much, to be honest with you, at the start. But that's, again, shaking the rust off, and he started to look a bit better. But at the end of the day, you can't go to Rotherham, batter them like we did with 14 shots on goal, you know, have 11 corner kicks, and come away with what we come away with. You know, the performance was poor overall. The players knew they had to get something out of this game. And at one point, a draw wouldn't have even been the worst result. Looking at it, at one point I was saying, do you know what, if we can hang on to this with the other results, we haven't really lost that much ground. And that's really poor that you have to sit there and say that when you're playing bottom of the league, who'd won three games all season before playing us, and their last win was on Boxing Day.
Yeah, it's not acceptable. I don't care what way you want to dress it up. Today was not acceptable. The team's down. Whether it's today, whether it's midweek, their next game that they lose, they're down. We can't be giving up points against sides like that, especially when we're fighting for our lives.
Well, this is it. You know, every game is a 6-point. And our corner says here that Huddersfield's a must-win game. I don't think Harris should be here next season. We've been found out and there's no plan B. So the plan B that Harris allegedly may or may not have, we saw today. And that was lump it, lump it, lump it, lump it. Harris ball, hoof ball, if you like. And It didn't work because, as we said, we did not have the target man. And it was all up to Cooper. And we was getting it out wide and there were some crosses coming in. Brooke put some crosses in. Mayer tried to put some crosses in. It was going out for corners. But we got no real sniper up front with the headers. We got no one sitting on the edge waiting for it to come out. It was just, it was all just hit and hope. And it looked really out of place, really reckless, really unorganised. And then Harris threw the kitchen sink. And again, you know, we just come unstuck. Rotherham go straight up the other end and stick it in the back of the net. David, as you say, you can't play Casper and Saville, both lack pace. Casper couldn't keep the ball and gave it away quite a few times in the first half. A donkey's got more pace. I agree with what you're saying there. I think in the first half, he was very... I think the term on he was shaking the rust off. He hasn't played for a while. You know, he got a minute against West Brom. And he's probably being asked to do something a bit different. I do think that Harris tried to get him to dictate the play today. I felt Harris wanted to go after Rotherham a little bit. I just don't think the players were good enough to do it and couldn't execute it. It would have probably been better to just stick to what we know, maybe with the game plan we had against Leeds, because we are a better team without possession. Whenever we've been a team that has possession of the ball, we do not win many games. I'd love to see the stat on that because obviously I'll go every week at home. I'll go, you know, a good 40, 50% of away games every season. And whenever we don't have possession, we more likely grind out a result, whether that's a draw, whether that's a win. But today we had more of the ball. Rotherham sat off us a little bit. They done what Millwall do to other teams at home and they try and hit us on the break when we lose the ball. They got that big lump up front, that Eaves, and they get it down to him, and they just but and in their sort of downfall, they're just not they just weren't good enough to be able to be clinical with it, like a team that we had been when we had Matt Smith and Morrison playing that sort of style under Harris. So in terms of playing with Casper and Saville with not having the pace, I don't think it's about having the pace from them driving forward. I think it's that their creativity is there. It's the other players around them. They're just like they're just not good enough to get into the positions to be able to capitalise off it. And they don't give him any options. I thought Saville was, you know, his usual-ish self. He was OK. He wasn't great. I thought Fleming did OK. I thought Fleming was pretty good, had a few good chances. But other than that, there wasn't anything to rave about from any of them. And this is Rotherham away, bottom of the league. What do you think, Nick, on the player performances? Who stood out and who shat an egg, shall we say?
Before we go on that, Jay, I just feel we lack confidence going forward. And when we knock a ball about midfield, you dress up the stats that they weren't... Yeah, right, we had 70% completed passes, but we allow teams to get positioned. We make it hard for ourselves through a lack of confidence for me.
Yeah, the confidence has been a big thing because I don't think this is a confident football team. I just think it's a team that gets told what to do and they do try and do it at the best of their ability. And like what Harris does, it's basic football under Harris. There isn't too much thinking involved in a Harris formation. You know, it's very disciplined. It's off the ball positional awareness. It's keep it tight and then try and hit them. It's all about mentality, all about energy and keeping your focus. So when asked to do something different and be technical and get after teams, we look like a deer in the headlights. We can't put the ball in the back of the net, as Bobby's saying here. We just can't find the net. Obafemi, I thought today, didn't really get himself into any good positions. I thought he did well trying to get up and hold the ball up. It didn't pay off, but he didn't really get himself through on goal or we didn't even find him to get through on goal. You know, we drifted wide and then we put the odd cross in and Cooper does what he normally does and gives away a foul when he's looking for a penalty, when he should just try and stay on his feet and see if someone commits to him. But going into next week, what do you think Harris will do? Is he going to change anything? Because it looks like Wallace, you know, that was a bit of a nasty whack he took there when he went up for that 50-50 and looks like he's hurt his back. So I don't think, Chris, that Wallace will fit in. I think Wallace, more physical and bigger, suited playing Rotherham today. He'll probably suit playing Huddersfield, to be honest with you. But Danny Mack come on, wasn't the worst player today, I didn't think. I thought there was others that were worse than Danny when he come on. He tries to stretch, he's a bit more direct, and he's got a bit of pace about him. So in terms of formation going into the Huddersfield game, what do you think? Do you think we'll see any changes? Do you think the panic button's been hit and Harris will stick with Casper, for instance, or does Duncan Watmore lose his place? Where do we go from here?
I think Harris being Harris will go back to what he knows, same what he did when he came in. He'll go back to what's ultimately grinded out results. You mentioned standout players today. No one. Not one of them. They're not justifying the wages at the moment. We've spoken on a Saturday sitting there, and you go around that team, what is a championship player? Take Zian and Lenny. We've got League One players.
Yeah, I tend to agree with most of them. Obviously, we're not going to include the loan players in that because they're not our players. And go down or stay up, these players ain't going to be here. You know, Tanganga's not going to come to Millwall. I think if people think we're going to go and get Tanganga, I think you're going to be greatly disappointed. But I agree. I think other than Lenny, who's been outstanding, who's player of the season, you know, in everybody's eyes.
There is a list as well. That says a lot about the others.
Well, yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. And that's going to be a problem.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And with a lot of these players hitting 30 or the wrong side of 30, your Savills, your Bradshaw. Bradshaw's going to be here next year because allegedly he's had his 12-month extension activated. So Bradders is going to be here. Now, Bradders in League One, maybe, but I wouldn't have Bradders back in the Championship. You know, Savile's out of contract. Murray Wallace, I believe. You've got all these loan players. So in total, we've got 11 players that are going to be out of contract. So this team's going to be entering a massive rebuild, whether we're in League One or we're in the Championship. The only thing saving grace is that if we stay in the Championship, that we might have some more finances to be able to do that. But at the moment, there isn't anybody you'd stick your hat on saying what they need to be in next season. Honeyman, I agree with Paul's comment here. Honeyman, you know, Wrightman and News SA, Longman more attacking, will be the same defensive lineup. I do agree with that because that's what we know under Harris. I just want to come to this comment because, you know, that's something that's been put out. And just want to touch on Gary's comment here. Sad news of ex-Millwall captain Dave Mehmet, who died from a massive stroke at 63 years old. RIP Dave, my friend. Yeah, RIP Dave. And, you know, respect to your family and sorry about this sad time. Thank you for your comment there, Gary. So in terms of what we need to see from now until the end of the season, we're now in a situation where if we lose to Huddersfield, the goal difference ain't really going to matter anymore because that's starting to come down. And the point differential, that's going to disappear. And then we are in a massive dogfight with the fixtures we've got coming up where we've got some home games. You know, we've got Cardiff coming up at home. We've got Plymouth coming up at home. These are winnable games, very winnable games. Leicester have not been themselves. So we can go and get something from these games, but we are making it extremely difficult for ourselves. How do you see the rest of the season going? And do you think Harris is going to stick to his... I know you said he's going to stick to his guns, but does that mean Billy Mitchell comes back in?
Yeah, I think he has to. I think Billy gets a lot of stick, and sometimes I don't see how. He's a Millwall player. He works his socks off, and we've grinded results out. So why would you look to do something different now?
I think I agree. I mean, I'm a Billy Mitchell fan. You know, the pod knows that. The viewers know that. I love Billy Mitchell. I think he can do a job that other people can't do. I think he's very much like what Jimmy Abdu was for Millwall. You know, not as loved and you know, not as good as Billy, as Jimmy. But Jimmy wasn't the greatest player, but Jimmy would sit on someone for 90 minutes. You know, he'd pop up and nick a goal once in a blue moon. But he would work tirelessly and give 110% every single week. And I think Billy does that. Does Saville come out? I don't think he does, because I think Saville is Harris's go-to guy. You can see the relationship they have. They're always, you know, hugging at the end of games. They're always talking. Harris is a big Jules Saville fan, and Jules Saville loves Harris, and he plays very well in this formation. But is it going to be Casper that gets sacrificed? I do think it will. I do think it will, because Huddersfield are going to try and stretch us. They're at home, and we're going to have to try and shut them up a little bit. We ain't going to go toe-to-toe. So I think that, yeah, Billy will come back in. I think Danny Mac will start at left-back. And I think Norton Cuffey gets a start as well. Someone that can is better on the ball than Duncan Watmore, because let's face it, Duncan Watmore, he gets his head down, he runs, you know, and he's quite quick, but he's not a good football player. You know, he nicked a goal last week, and he actually played very well, on Friday against West Brom. I thought he probably deserved his place in the squad today. Duncan Watmore, on his performance, should have scored two against West Brom, but ultimately he had a good game.
But yeah, we still missed the target from 10 yards today.
Well, this is the thing. This is another thing. He never covered himself in sugar today. So I think he'll drop out. That experiment's got to end now. He needs to get Norton Cuffey in there, who's been a good player this season when he's played out wide on that position. He's been a very good player. So I think he will revert back, and we will see a more defensive thing, and we'll set up not to lose and try and hit us, try and hit them on the break, without giving up too much going forward in our own box. Because ultimately, we've shown today that when we go after teams, we're not disciplined enough to stop teams going up the other end and scoring. Because from a quality standpoint, we ain't got it. And that's the fact. And we can't stay up top because he sticks Cooper up there and expects Cooper to win everything or be that second striker. And then we have nothing at the back. So it's going to be hard for some players, I think, Watmore, Casper, because I don't think Casper's going to be dropped from anything he's done particularly wrong. It's just what works for Harris. We've said that we're in a dogfight and it doesn't matter how we stay up. This isn't about formations and playing style. This is about staying up. And Billy's going to come in and do that. Will we stay up now? That's the big question, because before Friday, things looked rosy. And me and Omar and Dan, we come on the podcast, and Omar, you know, thought 6 points and I was right behind him. I thought four. And, you know, Millwall fans were fairly confident, but a lot of us knew, myself included, that Rotherham is a banana skin game. And ultimately, that's how it's turned out. And we've got another banana skin game coming up at Huddersfield. So, on the spot, I'm going to put you on the spot before I let you, before we carry on. Do you think we're going to stay up or not?
Yeah, I do. Whether that's wishful thinking, I think we will. I think if we look at our run of games that are coming, they are winnable. Plymouth have been brought right down into it now. We've got them at home.
I think Plymouth are going to sack their manager, or have sacked their manager. Maybe someone in the comments can let us know. So that's going to be a different Plymouth team that we're going to see.
Some good shifts lately. West Brom, I'm slightly disappointed that we didn't see that one out. I thought we played really well. I can see us playing well against Leicester, because we will play well against the bigger sides. I think we will have enough. But, I mean, we sat there in September, Jay, and said, right, what are the three worst sides than us? We knew we'd be in this position. It was evident.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Is that who are the three worst teams? Three teams that are worse than us, and I can't really see three teams worse than us at the moment. Now, we've done really well under Harris to start his tenure back at the club with getting some major results. You know, the Watford game, the Southampton game, the Birmingham game, they're big results under Harris. But then we lose to Leeds, albeit a good performance. We then draw at West Brom, a game we should have won. We just couldn't put them away. And then again, we lose again today to Rotherham. And I think the biggest problem is that while some of the performances are there, we still cannot put the ball in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. Now, are there three teams below us that have worse strikers than us? I don't think there is. I'd love that Adogie, whatever his name is, Ugby, that Sheffield Wednesday striker. I'd love him up top. Huddersfield have got some good play. Even Rotherham, that Eves, you know, there's some players down below us that can score goals. Blackburn, Smodic, top goal scorer in the Championship. You know, Plymouth have got that Whittaker. They've got goal scorers that can help get them out of this situation that we're in. We're pretty much relying on not getting beat because we don't score enough goals. Now, we're just lucky that our goal difference has been the way it has been because we don't really take a hammering. You know, we took the Iden to Ipswich and then Leeds and Coventry throughout the season. But we haven't took a massive Iden on a regular basis. And that's because we have kept teams out. We have been good at that, especially under Harris. But we cannot stick the ball in the back of the net. And ultimately, if we go down, that's gonna be our downfall. That's going to be our downfall. I just want to come to Andrew's comment here. If we draw or lose to Huddersfield, we'd have to rely on QPR, who a month ago were in the bottom three, to beat Wednesday on Saturday, Leicester to beat Brighton, and Rotherham to beat Plymouth. And this is the situation we're in, Andrew, is that we, even though we slightly have been, we've been relying on other teams' results. Now, we was able to get away with it a week or so ago where we were saying, you know, the goal difference and we're 5 points clear, with goal difference, it's 6 points, etc. You know, it's all about the teams not bettering our result. But that's out the window now because we have to start winning some games. We've got 6 games left. We need points. And Huddersfield is the biggest game that we're going to have since Blackburn. Every game now is the biggest game we've had since Blackburn. And this comment says everything from Dan. Dan, hope you're well. Last time we came from behind to win a game was v West Brom in October 2022. Clear mentality issue under multiple managers. Need a squad overhaul in the summer. Oh, come on. I believe with Dan and with Mickey and Stephen. And we spoke about the issues that we have with mentality, with the overhaul. Now, we've had a bad time off the pitch, you know, God rest him, John Berylson passing, you know, we've had 3 managers this season, but hindsight's a wonderful thing. And after that Blackburn game, how that season ended with the performances at Wigan, Hull, you know, even to the wire at Blackpool, who were down, you know, were down that evening, and then the Blackburn game, it should have been blown up then because this team does not deal with pressure situations like other teams do or like other teams have. We are very, very poor when the pressure gets put on. And that shouldn't be a Millwall side. We shouldn't give a fuck about pressure. We shouldn't care nothing about other than going out there and putting 110% into that shirt. But something in the background is holding these players back. What do you think it is? Do you think it's a mentality issue? Do you think it's a squad issue? You know, the players good enough, recruitment. You know, Aldo's got a lot to answer for. I totally agree with you. You know, do you think it's recruitment? What do you think the issues that we have? Because let's face it, if we stay up, great. But these issues are still going to be there. So what do you think what direction do you think the club need to go in, even if Harris is here or Harris isn't here?
I think they're setting their ways. We mentioned how many starters we've got that Harris brought in, but they played a lot of games under Gary Rowett. Yeah. They are set in their ways. And Joe came in, and whether he goes on to be a good coach or not, we'll find out. But can you teach an old dog new tricks?
this, I think that's half the battle, is a lot of these players, although, like, as Andrew's saying here, is that the finances, if, regardless if we stay up, we're not going to have the finances to replace the 10 players that we're going to lose in. That's a given, you know. So we've got to look to the youth, in my opinion. We've got to look at some of these youth players that are playing well. Alex Mitchell, you know, he comes back. That's, for me, is a Sean Hutchinson replacement. Should be starting next year. Maybe the jump might be a bit too big for him. But we need to start thinking ahead, or the board need to start thinking ahead, because this isn't a situation where we've got a squad for next season. We're losing most of the starting 11. Now, mentality aside, or issues aside, or issues with the board or with the management, you know, whether Harris is here or not, this needs a massive overhaul, because this is a team full of losers. The mentality's shot. None of them are good enough in the head. We might have some good individual players like Zian Fleming, like Casper Denore, like Ryan Leonard, but the overall team does not have the mentality needed to compete at the top end of this division. We've shown that. Last season was an anomaly. Yeah, before that, you know, we was creeping, pushing on the edge of the top 10, then pushing on the edge of the top 8, then the top 6. Gary Rowell got as much as he could out of this squad. Harris is going to get everything out of this squad before the end of the season. After this season, it's a free-for-all, because Harris isn't guaranteed to stay here, even though he's got 12 months left at the end of the season. So, do you think Harris is the right man to take us forward? What do you think the squad's going to look like? And where do we go in replacing these players?
Harris will never get sacked by this club. He will walk, in my opinion. I've heard a lot of ramblings that he goes upstairs, which I've got a lot of time for. I think it does start at the top. That's where the change needs to come. But we've got to get younger and faster.
Yeah, I think that's been a massive talking point, is that this squad is ageing. You know, some of the players who were the best players at the club are starting to show flaws majorly, you know, with their age and with the amount of games they're playing. Cooper's not been the same player. Murray Wallace has looked shot to bits. You know, Saville's getting on a bit. Still a great player, Saville. I love Saville, but, you know, he's getting on a bit. We haven't got any ready-made replacements for these players, especially in central midfield. You know, we've got Kasper and Billy, but who's behind them? If Saville decides to move on, or we don't renew or whatever, who's behind these players? What strike have we got behind Kevin Nisbet and Bradshaw, who both spend more time on the injury table than they do on the field? And goals are not something that we're missing with these players, because they don't score goals. Bradshaw had one good year out of 6 years. He's done nothing other than that. He runs well and he means well and he gives everything, but we need strikers to score goals. What have we got out wide? Duncan Watmore, Ryan Longman, like, these are not good football players, not at this level. Romain Essay, what happens with Essay? Meyer needs to start having a bigger role, because he's going to be needed next season, because we're not going to be able to go out and replace these players, like the comment before alluded to. This hits the nail on the head. Well, up, Dan, it's true. This squad is old. This squad can't do it anymore in the pinnacle of the Championship, where it's Tuesday, Saturday most weeks, Friday, Monday. It's difficult. It's difficult now. You need a big squad. And for a club like Millwall, who doesn't have a big squad or the finances to have a big squad, we need to start looking at the youth. But what do we do when we have good youth players? They go. Isaac Alafi, we spoke about him on the previous pod, that there's a buyback clause to bring him back. He's currently like one of the top scorers in Stockport's side, in the division for Stockport, who are fighting for promotion. Do you bring someone like that back? Where do you look in our youth system?
We've said it for years now. I mean, the 21s seem to be always doing well, but do we get the benefits? We don't, do we?
That's the problem, isn't it? When some of them look really good, Man City come in and they give us a little £1 million and pat on the back, and then they take him off and then they sell him for a fairly hefty profit. In terms of what we're going to be doing in the off-season with the board, the situation with Harris, the links to other managers. If Harris is here and we're in the Championship, where do we need to look? Where do we need to strengthen? What's priority one, priority two, priority three in that side?
I think we need a centre-half with pace, straight off the bat. We probably need two strikers and finishers as well. But, I mean, you could look at every position, Jay. I think they're all up for grabs. Zian in the 10 is our starter, isn't he? I mean, we've paid a lot of money for our goalkeeper, but I think every position is up for grabs, to be honest.
So you say that about Zian Fleming, he's the stud and probably the prized asset when it comes to recouping money, because Millwall don't recoup money for players. We just don't. We haven't made any money from player sales this season. So would you sell Zian Fleming, say, for instance, I'm just going to throw a number up there, say you get offered 5-6 million if we're still in the Championship for Zian Fleming, do you take it? If you could get a Charlie Creswell and Obafemi back, for instance, or go and get a target man and you can spend 3 million on each or 4 million on Creswell and you go and get another striker for 2 million, do you do it?
It's a tough one, Matt. I stick my neck out. Yeah, I would. I would have dealt him in the summer, to be honest with you, when the numbers were a bit higher. I think we've got so many holes in that squad that we have to be realistic.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, hindsight, again, is a wonderful thing. 10 million for Zian Fleming or whatever it was in Euros, 8 million or whatever. You would have gone and got Charlie Creswell. You would have gone and got probably a better striker. You could have probably gone and got the Blackburn captain that we was rumoured to be heavily after.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.